Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 28th of October 2013, the podcast that knows how many beans make pie. This is your host, Shane Killian. Joining me again this week is Lord T. Hawkeye himself, Tim Dyson. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good day, everybody.
And joining me for the first time this week, you may know him as DukeCT on YouTube and as DukeCT45 on the Bogosity.tv forum. Please welcome to the show, Charles Thomas.
Hello.
And Charles, you do the DukeCT Lounge podcast. Tell us about that.
Well, it's basically me talking or bitching about video game news and, you know, pro wrestling stuff, all with some video game remixes. So come for the video game remixes, stay for me bitching.
You know, I think it's interesting. We seem to be attracting a lot of gaming and pro wrestling fans. I wonder why that is.
Laziness, actually.
Laziness? What do you mean?
You know, just basically, we have nothing else to do. We could be doing other things, but, well, we're just here making podcasts.
Okay.
Oh, well. Yeah, man, but seriously, wow, what a complete and other interesting week that's been going on and with the whole Obamacare situation, man.
Hey, I got a joke for you. How do you spot a fake Obamacare phishing site? It works.
Oh, man. Wow. I like that. I'm stealing that one.
Just amazing. $400 million of our money. I mean, it's not, again, we have to reiterate, people, it's not the government's money or anything else. It's our money. We go and pay with taxes and such. $400 million, and this is what they can come up with. You know, instead of just worrying about giving ammunition or giving this guy a leg up, how about, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, do the best for your representative, you know, the people you're representing. That should be your main goal.
Just make something that works.
Yes.
We live in an age where, like, I play World of Warcraft. This is an age where they can do a new expansion, they got 10 million subscribers, and it goes almost utterly without a hitch. In less time, with less money. Like, good lord, you should have hired Blizzard to do this. They probably would have done a better job. It's ridiculous.
It is. And when you look at this stuff, it just when you see the, you know, $400 million, the multiple failings of this. I mean, the contractors of CGI Federal was awarded this contract, $94 million contract, in, like 2 years ago. And deadline after deadline was missed. And they keep blaming this and that when you work with the government and such, you know, they're not going to put the fingers on themselves. Oh, no. They're going to say, well, it was this, it was that, it was all this other stuff. And you wonder why people have so little respect for any of the representatives, Republicans or Democrats, if you look at the poll numbers.
Yeah. And a lot of IT experts are pointing out the idiocy of making someone fully register online before even so much as getting the prices of the available plans. And according to a Wall Street Journal report by Christopher Weaver and Louise Radnofsky, quote, an HHS spokeswoman said that the agency wanted to ensure that users were aware of their eligibility for subsidies that could help pay for coverage before they started seeing the prices of policies. So they wanted to do that thing where they show you a really low price and the fine print says after $100 mail-in rebate.
Oh, that little thing.
Yeah, we hate that. We hate it when stores do that when they say prices starting at, I don't care what the price is starting at. I want to know what I'm going to pay.
Yeah, and an analysis from the Manhattan Institute found that on average, plans under Obamacare are going to cost 99% more for men and 62% more for women than they would have under the old system.
This should be leading people to say, maybe we shouldn't be going through this, the Affordable Care Act or stuff like that. Maybe we should go back and try to, you know, fix it or do something. Because a lot of people, when you look at this bill, when you look at these huge type of problems this thing has, and everyone else who looks at it, who are, even people who are Democrat and Republican, especially some Democrats I know, they're saying, yeah, maybe we should relook at this again. Oh, it will give the Republicans, you know, that step up instead of actually saying, hey, maybe we should leave that crap aside, leave the tribal warfare aside, and actually help the people, which, but again, you know, God forbid, you can't do that.
You know, I've always said, the only way socialism and communism can work is when you can keep people in the dark about how badly it sucks.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why it's worked in Canada and Britain and everything, because they didn't start it with a website where their failure was going to be plain to see for all. So as far as government failing goes, you've really actually failed at it, because the writing is completely on the wall. There's no amount of damage control that's going to justify this, although we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. Well, you know how last time I said the error page had an error, and I was like, man, I should have gotten a screenshot of it, but turns out a lot of other people have, and they've tweeted about it, and I just want to read out a couple of these things, like, healthcare.gov is so bad, their error page has an error, hashtag fail, hashtag outrageous, hashtag incompetent, hashtag ridiculous. Tried to log into healthcare.gov, wait, then go to server down page, which is 404, hashtag not found, hashtag fail. Oh man, healthcare.gov server down page just 404 on me. That is so gloriously inept, it circles back to amazing. And then, my favorite one from John Nolte. Silly racist Republicans, just because Obama can't manage a website doesn't mean he can't manage your healthcare. Go burn a cross and shut up.
Of course, yes. The internet seems to be the government's Achilles heel. They can't handle it. They just can't.
The level of fail is just amazing, that you didn't think this was going to be possible, that the government could somehow go lower than your expectations, but it has. And honestly, yeah, we should give a round of applause for all the people. Just a round of applause.
Yeah, they've really outdone themselves. It's actually so bad that even Consumer Reports has gone after it. And they did a page where they gave some tips on how to get registered, such as, quote, for the username, put in everything mentioned in the garbled instructions. At least 7 characters that include at least 1 uppercase letter, 1 lowercase letter, 1 number, and 1 of the permitted symbols. You know, why does a username need to be that complicated?
Because that's how government works.
Just makes no sense. Well, they went on to say, quote, also follow the password instructions to the letter. SEMO, that would be Ben SEMO, the expert software tester they got this advice from, says the instructions are needlessly complicated and logins will end up being less secure because users will be putting the info on post-its stuck to their computers, as indeed I have done with my own. And I mean, this has been one of the biggest problem with security. You make people do all this ridiculous stuff to try and make it more secure, and you make it less secure because you cause them to do stupid things just because they can't remember it. SEMO also said, quote, don't believe all the status and error messages that you see on the screen. They may not always match reality. And that's when he was looking at the underlying JavaScript.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah. Consumer Reports even suggested clearing your cookies. Quote, if you log into healthcare.gov and get nothing but a blank page, what's likely happening, SEMO says, is that in your previous visits to healthcare.gov, your browser got loaded up with lots of cookies. The problem is that the cookie files are bigger than what the website can accept back. Yes, a design error. Result, a blank page. And the solution is either to delete your cookies or come at it fresh from another browser.
Wow. Just...
someone did not think this one through very well.
$400 million, ladies and gentlemen, of your money.
Yep. But you know what their ultimate advice is? Quote, stay away from healthcare.gov for at least another month if you can. Hopefully that will be long enough for its software vendors to clean up the mess they've made. The coverage available through the marketplace won't begin until January 1st. You have until December 15th to enroll. They're just basically saying stay away from it for the time being. Just let them fix it.
They sitting down slapdash website that costs, what, $400, $500 million of our money, by the way, the taxpayers' money. I have to keep repeating that so people don't really think that, oh, the government, oh, the money just comes out of thin air. No, it's our money. It is your money, your children's money, your grandparents' money, all that money going to that big website and seeing how it fails. This is inexcusable, especially for the price tag this thing has.
If you want to really want to be technical, you've given them, like, 80 years. Like, how long has it been since they were promising healthcare, end of poverty, and all this other stuff for all? How long have they promised this? Everyone acts like this is the first time government has ever taken an interest in it.
I actually went to Simo's blog, and apparently there's just all sorts of other stuff. He found major problems like passwords being put as clear text in the URL or revealing security questions in the code. You know, you put in your username, but you don't log in and you go ahead and get that user's security questions. You don't get the answers, but man, the questions are 90% of it. There's all sorts of flaws, including major security vulnerabilities. These are the kinds of mistakes the high schooler coding it on the weekends wouldn't make.
Well, this is what you have, people. When you have people who have, $400 million of your money, I keep having to say that, and hopefully it will get through. But again, these are people who already have the money. It's already locked in. And they're like, you know what? We don't really need to work that hard. I know I guarantee that some people do try to work hard, but you know, more often than not, they just say, well, you know, it's good enough for government work. You know, because I used to be a landscaper who actually, you know, worked for the government. And even at the, and after doing like the, the government fields and everything else, an associate of mine, co-worker, actually just looked around and said it's good enough for government work, even though there's like stuff missing, like this stuff was, still patched around grass and still need to be weeded. It says, you know what, it's good enough for government work. So we just went off our merry way and the government didn't really care. So we still got paid.
Government doesn't care because it's not their money. If you have a private, like a person or a private organization or a private business, it is their money and they're going to want value for that money. So you need to do a good job for them. You don't need to do it for government because it's not their money.
Yeah.
Well, I think I found out what the real problem was. They actually were trying to imitate the Canadian system. The main contractor behind the website was CGI Federal, which is this Canadian organization. They were supposed to provide Canada's online medical registry, but they were fired in September 2012 after missing 3 years worth of deadlines.
Oh, joy.
Too crappy for Canada is apparently good enough for America. I don't know whether to be insulted or not by that.
It is. We're taking the scraps from Canada, ladies and gentlemen. Again, $400 million. $400 million of your money.
And people, don't fool yourself. This is a preview of things to come. I mean, at least this was only annoying. Now imagine you're sick or injured and need help. This is the treatment you're going to be expecting. Take it from a Canadian here. This is the only advice I could give. Take care of your health. I mean, really take care of it. Don't bank on this saving you. It won't.
You're listening to the Bogosity Podcast. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Welcome back to the Bogosity Podcast, and here's some big news. All the major central internet organizations, ICANN, the IETF, the Internet Architecture Board, the W3C, the Internet Society, and all five regional address registries have turned against the U.S. government. And yes, this is big. This is like the internet equivalent of banks saying they won't accept the dollar as a reserve currency anymore.
Ouch.
Jeez.
Gee, I can't imagine why they would take a decision like that. It's not like they made some crappy website that's a huge embarrassment to them.
Yeah, and it's not like they haven't had anyone releasing all these leaked documents about the crap they've been doing. Well, and this comes from their Montevideo statement on the future of internet cooperation, a joint statement from all these groups, and they said they were moving towards, quote, an environment in which all stakeholders, including all governments, participate on an equal footing. And so
no,
this.
Not that!
Oh. Oh, God, what are we going to do?
Yeah, this directly and explicitly rejects the unilateral oversight the U.S. Commerce Department has had over them for years.
You know, you made a big mistake, a life-changing mistake, where even your children abandon you en masse. And I think this is it. I think people are just leaving this thing, the United States government, the internet's doing this stuff. It's because they are so disgusted at how it's been treated, the NSA. A lot of people are upset. A lot of people are pissed off. And you know what? I'm surprised it took them this long.
I'm just glad it's not going to be some kind of U.S.-led intergovernmental thing or like a U.N. committee or something like that. No, they're going fully NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And it actually gives me hope for stuff like what we've talked about before, the DNS poisoning the U.S. government engages in, where they take down an entire domain when there's so much as a copyright violation. Things like that. So hopefully those will be a thing of the past.
Yeah, I've always said governments will rue the day they didn't stamp out the internet while they had the chance, but good Lord, I had no idea how right I was going to turn out to be.
The more freedom you give to people, the more positive society moves. And trust me, when you have a more free society, poverty, crime, and all this type of stuff tends to go down a bit, you know? That's what it is, you know? The more freedom we have, the more people we actually are happier.
And I'm really glad for Edward Snowden, because even more than Chelsea Manning and other whistleblowers, has really gotten people on the alert about this, and now people are worried about privacy and computer security and things like that. Just like this new release, apparently the NSA has been harvesting millions of address books and other contact lists from all around the world, including many belonging to Americans.
Surprise, surprise.
But then they won't be surprised when you look at mine. It's just barely have anything in there. It's just dust and old wrestling contacts.
That's probably the worst thing you could do for the government is lead a boring life. They're going through going, oh, geez, who is this guy?
You know, they keep saying it's all for security. Show me some success stories, people. I want you to show me one terrorist that you foiled thanks to this information you've managed to gather. I mean, just show me one.
Well, they can't tell you that. It's a secret.
Of course.
Of course, you know, that's the stuff that every type of ruling organization does. They say, well, we caught tens of thousands of evil people, and we neutralized all these type of threats before they happened. Well, where's the proof? Where are the people, you know, arrested in jail? Well, we can't show you that. Why?
Hey, guess what, Shane? I fixed your house. Fixed a whole bunch of problems with it. Oh, but I can't tell you what they are. Can I get paid now?
Now, you don't ask, can I get paid now? You're sending, sending over my tax collectors to get paid, and you owe it to me.
I'm a slightly nice...
That's what government does.
And people wonder why there are so many people like myself, or you guys here, and people who listen to this podcast, who are just really disillusioned by this, by the governments and such. If they even did one-fifth of what they had to do, actually, you know, protect people and not, you know, lie, cheat, or, you know, do things that are actually in the end will cause more harm than good. We wouldn't be in this situation, but you know, hey, these people who have big egos and think they can, conquer and do all these horrible things with no type of repercussions, you wonder why there's a lot of dissent.
But the numbers on this are just staggering. In just one day, okay, one day, they got 444,743 email address books from Yahoo, 105,068 from Hotmail, 82,857 from Facebook, 33,697 from Gmail, and 22,881 for other providers. And the leaked slide calls that a typical daily intake. So they're getting these things by the millions.
This is insane. And they shouldn't be doing this. There should be some type of, at least someone to say, hey, why are you looking at these people who are innocent and building these databases and such? I just don't get it. Maybe someone can sit down and tell me why that this would actually be good for security or some type of thing. But in the end, when you start piling these lists up, and history has shown that when you start having lists that these things, like say, and start separating these people or calling them like terrorists or anything else, what have you, you know, bad things usually happen. It happened during, you know, the Cold War. You say, well, we don't like your stuff like that. Well, you're a communist. Take this rights and liberty away, or things like that. You know, stuff with this, whenever you hear the government say we're trying to catch terrorists or doing things like that, always keep an open eye. Keep your both eyes open, because you have these type of things, these things always end up in tyranny. And people wonder why, like, how did this happen? How did we get this situation? Well, it's fear. People will say that threat's right behind you. Oh my God, they're gonna come after you. But you know what? The boogeyman wasn't that big, and well, you just lost everything.
And yet, if you so much as record a police officer or report war crimes, as is your sworn duty to do, I might add, oh my God, that's crime of the century, that's breach of trust, that's endangering people.
But I want to point out that all of this did not happen with the cooperation of Yahoo, Google, and the other providers. They didn't even know about it. The NSA just grabbed these lists through the traffic that went across internet switches, and no one even knew about it until Snowden leaked this slideshow.
Why are my private things being looked at by a government? And that, you know, who is really quick to call, like, some people who are warring factions of the political landscape, regardless, Democrat, Republican, the Republicans, Tea Party right now, calling them terrorists. You know, you have these lists set up. I'm not saying, you know, government's going to come after these Tea Partiers and things like that. But when you see this stuff like this, the NSA come in and all this type of collecting information, you hear the IRS targeting these people, regardless, Democrats and Republicans, you know, all these type of things happening, you got to sit there and wonder, why are they doing this? What is their end goal? And if their end goal is, like, taking away people's rights and liberties, this thing has to stop. And hopefully, one day, with this information, this stuff will be stopped. At least the conversation to say, at least, you know, be somewhat like, hey, don't target innocent citizens.
Well, one good thing that started to come out of this already, Yahoo now says that starting in January, they're going to encrypt all of their email connections. Which, if you ask me, they should have started doing 10 years ago, but they're kind of following Google's lead on this with Gmail. Although I did take a look at their secure connection, it's not using perfect forward secrecy the way Google is, although they might upgrade that too. And they also didn't say if they were going to have encryption on the server end, but still, it's a step. And again, more of these places are starting to think about these issues. Email is still just, if you're doing something illegal or something you don't want caught or in the public eye, don't use email. It's not secure.
Exactly. And most people who actually are doing this are not doing email. These are people who are using it are usually very people who are innocent.
And the guilty people know how to get around it. Like, what was that? I think it was General Petraeus had that sex scandal or whatever it was. And it turns out the way he was communicating with the other person was by just making, they had a joint Gmail account and they just made their messages saved in the drafts folder. So they didn't get anywhere, so there was no way to get them. They found it out some other way. I forget all the details, but yeah, they were just doing sneaky things like, you know, just put everything in the drafts folder on Gmail, and then there's no way anyone can get it.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen their performance with making a website. Do you really think they can outwit internet hackers? Get real. You know, people always ask me, government's been around for a millennia. Why are you so confident that things are going downhill for it now? Because they can't hoard information anymore. A century ago, cop could kill someone for looking at him funny. He will get off scot-free. There is no way anyone will bust him. Nowadays, cop just so much as threatens someone, boom, his name is on the internet now.
Yeah. Hey, again, this is what happens. Again, I keep saying the internet is the Gutenberg's Press 2.0. And it's something that leads to people who has the freedom to basically look at this all the information. I mean, a guy you interviewed a couple, like, I think it was last year, you're saying that we are, Shane, saying that we are depressed. You know, we, and no matter how many times we see that these horrible type of situations, cops beating down people, war crimes, all this stuff, like 10, 15, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have heard about this stuff. But now, you look at the information, you look at what these video cameras and even small video cameras, helmet cams, that you can record anything and this type of stuff, you know. Instead of saying, you know, oh my goodness, maybe we shouldn't do that, they say, well, they arrest the people who actually filmed them, confiscate the cameras, and some points even destroy it. This is the type of people saying, oh, we're not in a police state. Really? The evidence is right there in front of them, and they still do not look.
You gotta love the incredulity there. What? That doesn't happen. You gotta love the facade. They pretend that they're surprised. No, you're not. No, there's not a soul in the entire world who buys that for a second. You are not surprised.
You're just pissed off they finally doing that stuff to you. And everything else, just for, they will let the government destroy, groups of people. But once that government turns on them, they're surprised and shocked. No, you saw what happened. You saw what they were doing, and you were cheering them on. It is just downright disgusting.
That's what bullies are like. I mean, beat the heck out of you. If you fell over and accidentally slapped their leg as you fell over, he is just shocked and appalled. How dare you do that? See that all the time, and it's just beyond pathetic.
Yeah, well, and the big problem is we have a two-party system. And a lot of this is just the direct result of that. There's no real difference between the two parties, but people get PO'd at one party, and what are they going to do? You know, there's only one other place they can go. But can we really expect much of a change? I mean, after all, this two-party system is what everyone wants, right?
The only way you can know that is if it were voluntary. When it's not voluntary, then it's what nobody wants.
Well, I mean, you can do a Gallup poll, and a recent one found that 60% of Americans say that the Democrats and Republicans are doing such a lousy job that America needs a third party, and that number is an all-time high.
Yes, I am happy. We need some new ideas, fresh blood, people to say, you know, we need something to shake things up.
Well, I mean, these numbers are pretty staggering because 52% of Republicans and 49% of Democrats say a third party is needed. I mean, it's pretty bad if half of your own membership wants another option.
Ouch.
Again, once you people give choices who want to have true choice, you know, this is a very positive thing. But of course, you know, when you look at the election laws and all this type of BS out there, it's hard as hell to get into even a chance of the discussion.
I know. Gallup kind of talks around it. They say the fact we don't have a third party is due to, quote, structural factors. And I guess that's just a euphemism for, like, outright fraud and law-breaking, not allowing third parties equal access to the ballot and to debates, you know, passing all these incumbent protection laws. You know, they call them campaign finance laws, but that's what they really are. All these things keep third parties from mounting much of an opposition. I've even covered them throwing out votes for constitutionally valid candidates. They just throw them out. That should be illegal, but no one goes to jail for it. And 60% of the people want this. And they just keep putting up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock.
And people tell me the government's legit because we vote. Because, really? This is kind of telling me a different story.
Yeah.
It's a racket, man. It's that's what it is. They have the game rigged, man. It's rigged because at the end of the day, the Republicans and Democrats get their money from the banks and all these other guys who paid them off their money. And it's funny how they get, you know, they come out multimillionaires. It's amazing.
We already saw with Ron Paul, they twisted the rules to keep him out of the debates after he absolutely humiliated them last time they let him in.
I may not agree with most of his stuff, Ron Paul, but he did speak on stuff on the stuff that really needs to be said. You know, the empire we have, but, you know, we can't call it an empire, and the war on drugs. And, you know, they froze him out of the debates. I guarantee you that if any of the mainstream guys actually talked about stuff who were, you know, anti-drugged or, like, you know, said that we need to really take back our military, which is basically, you know, really is a huge, huge, huge part of the reason why we're in this whole mess to begin with, I guarantee you no one, they will call them, oh, my God, you are a drug-peddling terrorist who wants to give kids on drugs, and you want terrorists to blow up buildings and daycares and everything else.
Translation, we don't want to lose our shinies. That imbalance of incentives is strangling you to death.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bogosity Podcast from Bogosity.tv. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Welcome back to Bogosity.tv. We are Shane, Charles, and Tim, a bunch of libertarian ideologues about to co-opt this week's biggest bogon emitter. And yeah, that's what Tom Watson of Salon.com says that people like us are, and he's complaining that us libertarian ideologues have co-opted the anti-NSA movement. I mean, what? I mean, we've been anti-NSA all along. Who's this Johnny come lately?
I mean, ideologues, as a wise man once said, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Ideologue basically is you have an idea and you believe if it were implemented, it would solve everything. Everything's all based on this one idea. I don't actually believe that. All I believe is that the idea most people subscribe to, statism, I believe that idea sucks. I don't have some central plan that's going to solve everything. I believe there's no such thing as that, and you need to get your head out of that sort of thing. So, if anything, I'm anti-ideologue.
Yep. Well, what he's talking about is the coalition called Stop Watching Us. And they were supposed to have this, you know, big rally in Washington, D.C. today, and I haven't seen any news reports yet about how it went out because we're just recording it on the same day, the Saturday it happens. But it includes two friends of this podcast, the Libertarian Party and DownsizedDC.org. But according to Watson, that means that the rally is, quote, fatally compromised by the prominent leadership and participation of the Libertarian Party and other libertarian student groups. Their hardcore ideology stands in direct opposition to almost everything I believe in as a social democrat. Oh, well, bully for you. We've been here the whole time. You moved to us on this issue. And don't get me wrong, we're glad to have you, but don't act like you were here the whole time and we're the newcomers.
Again, co-opting and, you know, again, like I said before, they all surprise, you know, when that stuff, when it happens to other people, they're fine, but what happens to them, holy crap, we need to start do something. We need to do something. Democrats, Republicans, they all merge to one thing.
Yep. Well, listen to what he says about the Libertarian Party. Quote, the Libertarian Party itself, inaccurately described by Stop Watching Us as a public advocacy organization, is a right-wing... Yeah, there's that right-left false dichotomy again.
Oh, joy.
They always have to pit people against each other. Political party that opposes all gun control laws and public health care, supported the government shutdown, dismisses public education. No, we dismiss government education. There's a difference. Opposes organized labor. Wrong again. In fact, we support the right of any group to organize. We just oppose government making membership mandatory. Favors the end of Social Security as we know it. And look, that end is coming. Social Security is mathematically unsustainable. We just want it to come about in a controlled way that doesn't leave a lot of people out in the lurch instead of its inevitable collapse. And argues in its formal political manifesto, what normal people call a platform, that we should eliminate the entire social welfare system while supporting unrestricted competition among banks and depository institutions of all types.
We want to end an institution which has spent billions of dollars, and yet the people it's supposed to help are no better off now than they used to be. Oh, gee, what a bunch of fiends we are.
Yeah, but notice that in all of this rant, he fails to say anything about exactly what is wrong with any of these positions. We're just supposed to assume that all these are bad somehow. So once again, we have status taking the position that we shouldn't even have a discussion about these things.
Yeah. And people wonder why that there are 60% of people who don't want to be related to the Democrats or Republicans or what have you. It's just like we hear this like, oh, they're against all this type of stuff. No, you shouldn't talk about this stuff. But maybe if we actually start talking about it, maybe we actually find some solutions to these problems instead of just holding your head, doing la 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 la.
Well, as you guys like to say, why are you afraid to talk about it? What do you got to hide?
Yep. And here's what he says about, he's saying that, this all sorts of stuff about privacy is just a front for our other right-wing stuff. He says, quote, "And their own argument for privacy is weakened by the pollution of an ideology that uses its few positive civil liberties positions as a predator uses candy with a child."
Ooh, buzzword
really,
alert.
You had to go and make an association with child molesters. Oh, yeah.
Good grief.
How desperate can you get?
If I weren't so pathetic, I'd be offended.
That's just beautiful right there. And I'm not even a libertarian. I'm an independent. That's just like, wow. I mean, you guys, man, get something better, man. If you're going to attack someone, at least find some facts first.
Yeah. Now listen to this bit. Quote, "It represents trading long-held beliefs in social and economic justice for a current hot-button issue." And he's talking about Snowden's revelations here. "That, while clearly of concern to all Americans, doesn't come close to trumping a host of other issues areas that require the long game of electoral politics and organizing." Well, first of all, since when have progressives been in favor of social and economic justice? All along they've supported the war on drugs, the war on women in the form of sex worker prohibition. They've supported foreign wars and nation building on and on and on. They've even dragged their heels on things such as gay oppression, and the Libertarian Party has been against these things from its very founding. I mean, could you possibly have a group that's more in favor of social and economic justice than the Libertarian Party?
These people just, they only see things in their own Democrat type of view. It's like, you know what? They can't afford anyone else to come in and be like, oh my God, if there's someone else who's actually different or actually are better at us at our job, then, well, we're out of the job. So we have to keep saying that we're the good guys.
You know, I spotted in there. He used the term long-held as though it were automatically a positive.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of conflict with the whole idea that you're progressive, i.e. you want to improve things, not just stick with the past just because it's the past, because Lord knows our ancestors knew more than we do? Footnote, no, they didn't.
Well, and it's also shades of, acupuncture is good because it's been around for 2,000 years, that sort of thing. But, I mean, this really... The real point here is him dismissing the NSA spying as a current hot button issue and not part of the long game. No, this is a problem, and it's been a problem for a long time. Only libertarians have been speaking out against it before Snowden. And the mere fact that he calls this a current hot button issue just reinforces my earlier statement that he's the one jumping on our bandwagon.
Yeah, either he's lying or he's really not been looking out his window recently.
The Johnny come latelys. Don't you just love them?
Are you ready for the Incredifail?
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go. Quote, "For those whose feet still touch the ground, the path to NSA reform so clearly lies inside the Democrats' big tent." What? I mean, what? Who do you think has been doing all this spying to begin with?
Just get the Democratic president and he'll fix something. Oh, wait, you already have one. What the heck's he doing? Good Lord.
Oh. Hey, I know we Democrats have been spying on you and committing atrocities overseas and going after the whistleblowers who dared to point it out, but we're the solution. Really, we are. Cheese and crackers, will you give me a break?
Blinders, man. They're on blinders. They can't even see what's going on. I have never seen this type of stuff. It's amazing. It's just amazingly ignorance. And it's willful ignorance. When you look at the information, that is just willful ignorance right there, and I can't stand that.
Well, his big fear is that, quote, "Libertarianism itself will rise, and our loss of liberty will be greater still. That's because libertarianism is a form of authoritarianism disguised in a narrow slice of civil liberties. In trumpeting the all-knowing, ever-wise wonders of the totally free and unencumbered market, It bestows all the power on those with access to capital, which in a libertarian society would be everybody. You may say we're there already, but under a pure libertarian system, things would get much worse. Yeah, despite the fact that it's his beloved Democratic Party that had a big hand in getting us here to begin with.
Tyranny through freedom. That would be rather insidious, but wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If it actually worked.
Oh, yeah, if you had a party who claimed to be for freedom and then turned around and did all the stuff that Snowden had to blow the whistle on, yeah, wouldn't it be horrible if that started happening?
Oh, wait, it did.
God forbid they are so terrified because maybe the Democrat Party is the wrong party and it goes and like... Oh my gosh, maybe I was wrong all this time. No, it's the Libertarian Party. Let's just call them racist and call it a day.
Yeah. Well, this guy even cites Michael Lind in what he called a must-read essay. And if you recall, Lind is the Salon commentator who smugly and narcissistically gave us the question libertarians just can't answer, which was subsequently answered over and over and over again by libertarians all over the place. So this is the level of discussion we're talking about here.
I looked at those questions like, what? This isn't hard.
It didn't even require... Okay, some questions to libertarians are difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. They require thought. They require research. You know, these that they... There was like this whole thing about, you know, 50 such questions. None of them even required any thought. You could answer them like that, you know? It's just...
Half of them weren't even questions.
Yeah.
Blinders on, people. They just can't... expect the truth, man. They just like, you know what? The Democrats are always right. It's always right. You know, they can't be wrong.
Yeah. And of course, he just makes the claims. He doesn't present anything at all to back it up. He doesn't quote from the platform. He just poisons the well by calling it a manifesto. He doesn't say why our policies will be bad, just denigrates them by calling them right-wing. This whole essay is nothing but unfounded assertions, ad hominem attacks, and attempts to poison the well. I mean, say what you like about the creationists. At least they try to refute the data.
I mean, they could, if we could say that, okay, we may not agree with everything a libertarian stand for, but we agree with this huge, huge problem, but instead... They're like, well, we can't ally with them because, you know, they're evil and they have cooties and such.
Yeah,
I used to be a statist people, and it was scary thinking that I had been supporting the wrong side for 20 years, but guess what? I got through it, and believe me, you'll never look back once you do.
All of that puts Tom Watson at the top of the dung heap as this week's biggest bogon emitter. So now it's time to divest all of our holdings in this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it's Congressman George Miller. He's a Democrat from California, so you already know it's going to be fail.
Oh, joy.
Well, his response to all of the problems and pitfalls of the Obamacare website was to, get this, declare it a huge success.
Yay, it's a success.
Success at what?
In fact, he even said that if this had been a Wall Street IPO, its stock would have soared to $700 a share.
The fail is so strong in this one.
Yeah, I read this. It was like, there were so many people that overloaded the site, that proves there's lots of interest in it. From what I hear, very minimal testing they did of this website, a few hundred people was all it took to cause problems.
Well, I mean, I don't know of anyone who got rich by having a website that doesn't work right.
$400 million, people.
Yeah.
Of our money.
But I mean, there's all sorts of problems with the website, the security questions glitch we talked about last time, not finding the server down page, buggy JavaScript, malformed cookies, clear text passwords, all sorts of things. Those problems have absolutely nothing to do with the site being overloaded. If the site's overloaded, you might get a database error or a 500 server error or a timeout, something like that. Not bad JavaScript code and passwords in clear text.
There were so many people that caused the code to switch. That's what happened.
No, but there's really no excuse for it being overloaded in the first place since, as far as I'm aware, it's the only website in history that puts you on hold.
It's the first, you know.
Hey, they broke ground in that one. Yeah, great.
As I've said, I've seen video games make websites on less money, on less time, and handling more people, and they did it fine. If they can do it, why can't you guys?
Because the checks are in the mail. They don't care. They half-ass it, and in the end, they get these people who are like, you know, it's a huge success. even though it's a complete utter failure. And
yeah, Canada fired us for incompetence. Hey, we'll just go to the U.S. government.
Come to think of it, there was one time where a video game company did pay someone in advance, and he was just paid for how much he did. He wasn't paid for how good the product was. You know what we got out of that? Pac-Man for the Atari 2600.
Wow.
Yes. That worked. That was a good thing, right?
NET as well. It was the same story then. He was paid for how many copies they made, not how many they actually sold. At least the video game industry learned their lesson from that.
Yeah. But again, $400 million of our money went to this website. You're welcome.
But all this, according to Miller, makes it a great success. Well, that statement, according to us, makes Congressman George Miller this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Break Me Off a Piece of That edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks once more to my co-hosts, Tim Dyson and Charles Thomas.
Farewell, everyone, and as I always say, be aware and be wise.
Hopefully you enjoy my long ranting. If not, well, that's 30, 40 minutes of your life you can't get back, so enjoy.
I think they're used to that. Until next time, here's a quote from Frank Herbert. Bureaucracy destroys initiative. There is little that bureaucrats hate more than innovation. Especially innovation that produces better results than the old routines. Improvements always make those at the top of the heap look inept. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
$400 million of your money.
Had to say it again, huh?
I have to keep this saying again so people can understand.
And you know what the sad thing is? That probably wasn't even enough.